Hello, this is Rod Sloan, and welcome to episode 60 of the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast. If this is your first time in joining us, then a warm welcome. And my guest on this, our 60th edition, is the CEO of Inflection Point, Bob Apollo. And Bob and I will be talking about how you can implement Challenger sales thinking into your business. But before that, some exciting news on the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast. What we've started now is a special page on Facebook. We have a Facebook page for the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast where you can listen directly to this podcast from Facebook. So, the Facebook page, of course, is the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast. So if you're a Facebook person, take a look at that. Please like us. Please friend us. We'd appreciate that. Thank you. So let's now go and listen to my special guest, Bob Apollo. So on the line today, I have Bob Apollo. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Rod.
Bob is the founder and CEO at Inflection Point, which helps technology-based B2B-focused companies lift revenue growth to the next level. So I guess, Bob, and looking at your profile on LinkedIn, you know, people talk about how you help with their marketing and sales. I guess you're right in there at the moment with marketing and sales for tech companies. Is that your sort of sweet spot, so to speak?
I guess it is, Rod, and it's something that's interested me since the start of my career. I was lucky enough to be in a company that allowed me to do meaningful roles, both sales and marketing, and, you know, learn both functions' perspectives. And I've enjoyed working at that intersection ever since. And that's what I do today with the companies I work with.
Now, there is, I was in corporate sales, and when I was in corporate sales, it was all about solution selling. And then something else came out, and the current flavor seems to be challenger sales. I guess you've seen that. Do you see anything different in that? What do you see about the challenger sales role, Bob? And do you see that as being, you know, a silver bullet or just the new iteration on a long journey?
Oh, that's a really good question, Rod. And of course, when I started my career, things like solution selling, spin were all the rage. Everybody was getting trained up in those approaches. But, you know, I think there was a problem. And I think there is still a bit of a problem today, because most evidence suggests that despite all of the investment in traditional process-oriented solution selling, ask better questions and so on, it's still the top 20% of salespeople who do 80% of the revenue. And in fact, in a recent study, Sales Benchmark Index, if I can recall it correctly, found that actually 87% of the revenue generated by 13% of the salespeople. So all of this, you know, sales training methodology, you've got to question whether it's really delivering tangible results. And this is a methodology I grew up in.
Right. So we're both redundant then, Bob. They don't need us. They can just carry on doing what they're doing. And we're marginal bystanders. Is that what you're suggesting?
Rod, I would hate for that to be the conclusion. And so actually, I've been working with a group of clients on a slightly different perspective. Right. And it's a perspective that was articulated really clearly in a book published a year or two ago called The Challenger Sale. And again, this was based on research. And if you were to open that book, Rod, and take it at the first few chapters at face value, you'd think it was about sales behaviors. And it is in part. They, by the way, identified five different sales behaviors, and these are not exclusive behaviors, but they're by and large, if you look at a salesperson, they'll have a preference for one of the styles in particular. Yeah. You know, they might be a problem solver. They might be a hard worker. They might be a relationship builder. They might be, and perhaps you and I have either had these people working for us or seen them in the sales community, they might be a lone wolf.
Yeah.
Or they might be what the authors called a challenger. And the thing that really struck me as being interesting and made me want to try and put some of this thinking into practice in the clients I work with is that it identified some qualities which, you know, when I look back at top sales performers, I could see these traits, these behaviors. And the challenger from the author's analysis very significantly outperforms the other roles. Lone wolf, interestingly, is second. So what's different about challengers? Well, they're salespeople who are prepared to bring new perspectives to the customer, to challenge existing assumptions, to leave the prospect believing they've learned something valuable and they want to hear more. And Rod, I don't think you do that. And, you know, having trained solution selling for many years, it's a bit of a painful recognition. I don't think you do that just by asking good questions.
Right. So you've described there the challenger salesperson, and that seems quite a self-confident individual. So are challenger salespeople born that way, Bob, or can, via reading this book or speaking to somebody like you, can they develop those talents or skills?
Well, you know, I think there are some people who are just extraordinary in their abilities, in their natural abilities. But I also believe, and we've proven it in a number of situations, that some of these qualities can really be coached and taught. And in part, it's about the salesperson feeling confident. Feeling confident to be what, you know, salespeople have wanted to be over the years, a truly trusted advisor to their prospects and their customers. And one of the ways you do that is by being knowledgeable, by sharing insights, by not just asking questions, but offering some valuable knowledge in return. It's what I see in a lot of very good salespeople, and I'm absolutely convinced that it's possible to coach most salespeople to actually be a great deal more effective, to be more confident, to be better prepared, not just to ask the prospect what they want, but actually to lead the prospect's thinking.
Well, you're listening to the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast. My guest is Bob Apollo, founder and CEO of Inflection Point, and we're talking about how you can use the challenger sales model. So a couple of things that strike me, Bob, is A, does this only suit complex B2B sales? So if I'm doing something more transactional, does it work? And the other question is, you know, I'm a salesman. I'm not a salesperson. I'm told I've got to close stuff this month, this quarter. I mean, my head is down. I can't think of all this fancy Dan, hunky-dory, you know, the la-di-da stuff. I just got to close what's there, man. And, you know, well, whatever you call it, I don't care. So how would you answer those two people, either for more simple sales and for people who are, you know, really under pressure, under the kibosh to close what's in the pipeline?
Both really good questions. I'll take the first one, simple sales. And my honest answer is, Rod, I'm not sure and I'm not convinced. And in fact, the research that underpins the challenger selling book suggests that the difference between these different five different sales behaviors in terms of how they translate into results is much less profound than is the impact of a challenger approach in complex, high-value, lengthy sales. So I think it's well proven that a challenger approach works well in complex sales. I don't think it'll do you any harm in simple sales, but the compelling evidence isn't as strong.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So let's go on to the end of quarter problem. Well, you know, Rod, I referred to earlier this pretty stark statistic that today 87% of revenue is generated by 13% of salespeople. And I'd suggest to you that the remaining salespeople, many of them, are caught in this treadmill of, I've just got to close what I've got. But you know, when you really look at why deals don't close, and I've had clients come to me and say, our salespeople need closing skills. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really look at it, when you really dissect it, almost every time, in fact, every time I've taken a look, the problem isn't in closing, it's in setting the deal up in the first place. It's in asking the right questions, creating the right conditions early on in the sales cycle. And if we don't break that, then coaching salespeople in how to close won't improve performance. just as it hasn't done in all of these years of teaching, always be closing methodologies to salespeople.
Okay. Interesting answer there. You're saying it goes back to more earlier part in either the sales cycle or the buyer cycle.
Well, both, Rod.
Okay. So can you, if you can, Bob, can you share with us, I appreciate you probably can't mention names, some examples of some successes of the Challenger sale where you've seen either bigger deals won or sales cycle shortened, or what's the results have you seen so far from working both with your clients? And I know you have a relationship with people over at the Sales Executive Board.
Yeah, good question, Rod. So here's what I have seen happening, and I think it backs up the ideas in the book. The average sales cycle length in organizations that start to put these principles into practice comes down pretty dramatically. I've had clients talking maybe 20 to 30% reduction in average length of sales cycle.
Wow.
Now, why is that? When you look at the why, a lot of the reason is we start excluding deals where we cannot differentiate ourselves, where we can't lead the thinking of the prospect, where really there is no opportunity. We start excluding those sort of deals earlier. And what we end up working on are deals which directionally much more likely to close, and where there is some truly compelling reason to do something. You see, I think selling's about change management, and you really have to have your prospect thinking, why do I need to change and why do I need to do it now, before you've got a real chance of persuading them to make that change with you. And what the Challenger sale does very elegantly is to help salespeople have the sort of insights that give direction to the conversation with the customer and help the customer to answer for themselves, but with the support of the salesperson, why change and why now? You see, I think, and I know, in fact, if a salesperson creates those conditions, they're in a much better position to persuade the prospect that actually they need to change to their offering rather than anything else. So 20 to 30% shortening in sales cycle would, I suggest, not be unusual.
Well, that is a very attractive offer, and I'm sure if there's any sales managers or sales directors or CSOs listening to this right now, they'd be intrigued about how they could do that. So, Bob, apart from going across to someone like Amazon and getting the book, what other resources are there out there, maybe that you have access to, that can help people think about changing the way that their sales process with the Challenger sale model?
So here's where the blend between sales and marketing is, I think, so important. And I think the absolute lesson from the Challenger sale research is not that the Challenger personality outperforms other sales personalities. It's that organizations who challenge their customers and their prospects to think differently, are constructively provocative, are in much better shape to succeed. So how do you go about constructively provoking, positively challenging your customer? Well, a lot of that, Rod, I think, is to do with content, with content marketing. And so, you know, the sort of resources you might want to look at are the many excellent blogs and articles on content marketing. One off the top of my head from a UK-based company called Velocity Partners is really absolutely worth reading. But there are many others out there.
Okay. And if they wanted to find more stuff about you, Bob, where would they go for that?
Well, the Inflection Point website, that's INFLEXION-POINT. I blog on average once or twice a week about these issues, and hopefully some of the listeners will find some useful insights in those articles as well. I'd be delighted to welcome them to the website.
Well, without sort of bowing down in front of you too much, I know I read your blog on a regular basis and it's excellent content. And anybody's looking for a speaker on this, I've seen Bob speak, and I saw him speak at the end of the day, and I was fearful for you. I thought, oh my gosh, Bob's speaking at the end of the day, people are gonna be low on energy, and he gave a barnstorming performance. So if you're looking for a speaker on this, then Bob is your guy to go to. So Bob, I want to thank you for your time today. And hopefully our listeners will come across to the Inflection Point website. Thank you.
Rod, thank you for the chance to have this conversation.